The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, welcome to our new podcast, The Signal
and the Noise,
that will attempt to give you a peek into the inner workings of Mint's long stories. This is Sunit.
And I am Ajay.
And we are both editors with Mint.
Hello, welcome and thanks for tuning in. Today, Sunit won't be joining us. Instead, Ritika Khera, a well-known economist and social scientist, is with me. Now, Ritika works on many issues, but one of her central areas of interest is the Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme, or MNREGA, as we all know it. Until 2020, not many people thought that there should be an urban equivalent, an urban MNREGA. Desperate poverty, after all, is a rural phenomenon. At least, that's the perception. But having seen scores of migrant workers flee India's cities earlier this year, perceptions are changing. If there are millions of people living in a Delhi or a Mumbai who are as poor as someone in Bundelkhand, don't they deserve a safety net? MNREGA, for instance, is that safety net in rural India. It has already been used by nearly 100 million people this year, which is a record. When there is no other job, public works through a jobs program is the fallback. And in a year when street vendors and small restaurant workers in India's cities are struggling, even after the end of lockdown, many people have started asking a radical question. Why can't the government intervene in the urban job market too, with a new scheme? A public works-based wage support program is actually an intricate part of Indian history. It has been an essential feature of the economic revival plan after previous plague outbreaks, for instance. The Barai Imambara in Lucknow was built in the 1700s as part of a drought relief initiative. But if India does choose to go down this path, how can this be organized? And how much will it cost? That's what I'm going to ask Ritika today. Welcome to the show, Ritika.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So let me get right into it. What exactly is an urban employment scheme? Will it just be an urban version of the rural MNREGA?
Well, in some ways, yes. The idea of an urban employment scheme is to create new employment opportunities, and the emphasis is on new, so that those who are unemployed or are underemployed may be gainfully employed and be able to earn a dignified living for themselves. Yeah. The dignity of work comes, or is supposed to come, from both the work conditions under which they're employed. So, you know, being paid a fair wage, in our case, the statutory minimum wage, also some kind of modulation of the hours of work and, you know, shelter maybe at times. That's one part of dignity, as well as the social value of the work that they do. Yeah. So, for instance, these people are supposed to be employed in repairing public buildings and infrastructure such as schools, parks, public toilets, footpaths, etc. So in that sense, in the sense of creating additional employment and dignified employment, there is a similarity between the urban employment scheme or the proposed urban employment scheme and NREGA. From the point of view of implementation, there will obviously have to be differences, right? Because the administrative structure in urban areas is very different from that in rural areas.
Right.
So in urban areas, you have urban local bodies such as municipal corporations and wards under them. So those will likely have to play a crucial role. Whereas in rural areas, obviously, it's the elected Gram Panchayat that plays this kind of key role.
So you talked about underemployment. So is this a pandemic phenomenon? Because lockdown has definitely affected a lot of different kinds of jobs like restaurants and things like that. And also, is it a big enough problem in a normal year, let's say, for the state to kind of intervene in the urban job market?
Yeah. So I would say that the employment situation in the country has always been a matter of concern, yeah, both in urban and rural areas.
Okay.
And what happened because of the pandemic, and it need not have been as bad as it has been, is this unplanned and very sudden and very stringent lockdown, which has exacerbated the problem for many people. Informal employment is the norm in India, right? We are really the minority, people like you and me. And the employment conditions for the vast majority are pretty bad. I mean, anyone who has worked on labor knows that there is a lot of vulnerability. There's a fair bit of exploitation. And for the majority, wages are very low. So from the 2017-18 NSS data, we know that only 17% were earning 10,000 rupees per month. Yeah. More than 10,000 rupees a month was only 1.7% of the workforce. Yeah. And this is pretty shocking. The rest were below that. So I think, yes, we do need some kind of government intervention can help remedy the situation. But obviously, it requires a fair bit of rethinking on how we think about economic policy and growth and development as well.
And if there is a jobs program, let's say, in the cities, what could it look like? What will be the nature of work, for example, that you can undertake as part of a public works program?
Right. So you should know that I'm not the one who has come up with this idea. There are people at Azim Premji University, especially a labor economist called Amit Basole. And then after that, Jean Drez is the one who's given it an acronym called DUET. So from those proposals, what is being suggested is that you have vouchers, job vouchers, which the implementing agency, and that is something we'll have to discuss and think harder about, will disburse to public institutions that are pre-approved and also for pre-approved tasks. Okay, so we can decide beforehand that across the country, maybe painting of government buildings is an urban employment scheme pre-approved activity. Now, if any government school or Anganwadi or university or public toilet or, you know, what have you, needs painting, then they can get this voucher from the implementing agency and get the work done. And then the person who does the painting will get paid for this. Yeah. So the range of tasks actually can be quite varied. I'm just giving the example of painting a building. But I don't know if you've been to schools in government schools. Very often they have broken windows, they have broken furniture, you know, a chair will not have a leg and a desk may not have a leg. There's a lot of electric work, you know, the fans may not be working because somebody pulled out the wire or there are, you know, bulbs that need to be fixed or whatever. So there's a whole range of skilled and semi-skilled and maybe even unskilled work that can be done through this scheme. You know, using plumbing services, electrician services, painters, carpenters, and so on. So in some ways, what you, I don't know if I should make this analogy, but perhaps one analogy that works is to think of this as a public version, a government version of Dunzo and Urban Company. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So what they're doing is they're kind of their aggregators for delivery services and for other repair services at home. And in a sense, what this will become is to tighten that market further, because then, you know, there'll be competition between the private and the public to attract the best carpenters, plumbers, etc. And also tighten the wage market a little bit for them, hopefully.
Sure. So I also want to kind of talk about some of the criticisms, which, in fact, I've written stories about this, and I've spoken to some economists who have concerns about the expansion of the rural mandrega itself this year, and whether some of that might actually be sticky. So rural mandrega might seek more and more funds each year. There has been all this criticism, right, that it costs too much, that people are just digging up wells and filling it, which the Prime Minister once mentioned. So won't these kind of apply to an urban variant too, particularly because unlike a panchayat, in an urban setting, even like you mentioned, there is not a specific body that can organize or manage this. So to do this well, don't you think some of these criticisms would apply in an urban area too?
So, well, I didn't say that there isn't an oversight body. I said that we need to think about it. And in fact, there are many different options. So one, of course, is to do it through the municipal corporation and the infrastructure and administrative structure that they have. But that can be augmented by resident welfare associations that have in the past couple of decades taken on some of these municipal functions as well. And then yet another alternative is for laborer collectives to also come together and offer these services. Now, as far as the criticism, so-called criticisms of NREG is concerned, you know, what all the things that you've listed, basically it's just in for people who, like me, who work on NREG or who have done research on NREG, it's kind of proof of how little research findings are making it to the public discourse. Because anyone who has done research or is following the literature on NREGA is actually going to throw up a much more positive picture, and at least a mixed picture compared to, you know, this kind of stuff that you mentioned, which I don't want to repeat. So, you know, think about desilting of canals, which prevents flooding in Bihar, okay? This is to the untrained eye or to the ignorant eye, I would say it is digging holes and filling it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for the people who live there, it's a life-saving intervention because it's no longer flooding their villages or whatever it is. Similarly, think about the air pollution crisis that is, some of it is being attributed to the burning of stubble in Punjab. If NREG labor could have been employed there to dig up these plants, the remaining stubble, then it could have prevented a lot. And again, it would seem like faltu work to the untrained eye, except in this case, we'll see the value very quickly because we benefit from it. We might benefit from it. Yeah. So that's one part of the story, that this criticism of NREG is often ill-founded. The second is, of course, about the cost. That is not a trivial question. Neither is NREG cheap, nor is this urban variant likely to be cheap. But the fact is that we need to decide as a society what priorities do we have. When the lockdown happened and all these people, laborers across the country, were in distress without food, water, shelter, transport, then people like you and me, we were, you know, feeling very bad for them. Yeah. Right. Now, if as a society we decide that this kind of thing is acceptable to us, then we have to be willing to shell out and make resources available to make these programs work.
Fair enough. And some states have, in fact, been trying this year, right? And all of this is about whether the center will do it. But states like Odisha or even Jharkhand have announced very small initiatives, pilot, just a few hundred crores for now. Have you been following some of these states? What is your own sense of what's happening at the state level?
So I think the states that are here have something in place already are Himachal, Jharkhand, Odisha, and Kerala.
Right.
And I think of these, Kerala is the oldest. And whatever little we know about it, it hasn't really taken off in a very big way.
Okay.
Now, I feel that given that this is such a new idea, and given that even in these states, these programs are in such a nascent stage, it's very hard to learn that much. I mean, I think it's the time to make an intervention there and to treat these as pilots to see whether something can be made of them.
I
would say that the only kind of example we have is NREGA. And the fact that NREGA is so popular and has created assets in many different situations in rural India and led to empowerment of women and revitalized Panchayati Raj institutions in some states or in some pockets. All of these things are positive signs.
Well, Ritika, let's hope all this experience that India has with the rural Mandrega does come in handy and some form of relief is available soon for the casual and daily wage workers in India's cities. In the meantime, I think what would definitely help is some respite from a winter surge in COVID cases, similar to what's happening in Europe and the US. So if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you celebrate Diwali in a safe manner. As always, stay healthy, do send us feedback, and thanks for listening.
You have been listening to The Signal in the Noise, with me being the signal, of course. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @HTSmartcast. Or you can also reach out to us personally
at Sudhir Arora
and at AJ Axiom. To listen to more such interesting podcasts, do log on to htsmartcast.com. We'll be back next week with a new story and some awesome banter.
And lots of fun.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.